KALW.
This is TBH. I'm Cassidy Canner-Gomes. I'm a student at Oakland School for the Arts, and I'm an aspiring audio engineer. This podcast is made by, about, and for teenagers, and for anybody else who wants to hear what's on our minds. Today's episode is about loss of control. Throughout the last couple years, I've heard the phrase, "We're doing this for the students' mental health," countless times, but I've rarely heard any of the people saying this actually talk about students asking for what they're suggesting. It's really frustrating because I've seen adults, often administrators, act like they're doing what's best for the students without ever asking us. During the pandemic, students' lives were dictated by adults. Government officials and school districts determined what a student's academic futures looked like. These decisions directly impacted many students' mental health, leaving lasting effects that completely altered many teenagers' futures. We're going to hear about that from Carolina Quadros. She's a high school senior at Carlmont High School.
Sometimes it feels like the COVID-19 pandemic finds its way into every conversation.
The news on Saturday that President Biden tested positive for COVID for the...
There are now mutations that have been selected that makes the virus even better adapted to transmission.
And vaccination is the most powerful tool we have.
We are all absolutely overhearing about it. Sorry to burst your bubble, but this conversation is not an exception. But don't tune out quite yet. COVID was disorienting for everyone. Now, imagine being an adolescent. You already have the pressure to quote-unquote find yourself. Our job got a lot harder when we were also forced to adapt to a new normal. As teenagers, it can feel like adults have complete control over our lives. Our parents control where we live, what we eat, what time we need to be home. Our teachers control what we learn, how much work we have to do, what books we have to read. COVID magnified this control, starting with the announcement that our learning would move to our homes back in March of 2020.
Attention, please. In the last hour, the majority of schools have canceled student attendance.
Government officials and school district decisions shaped everything, from our day-to-day social lives to our academic futures. It felt like everyone was entitled to an opinion about our lives, except for us. Yet, these decisions had such evident effects on our mental health and our futures. I was stuck with online learning for my entire sophomore year, and it was pretty rocky. It was a struggle to pay attention, understand, and engage in class, behavior that was very out of character. Everything started to spiral when it came to algebra 2 trig. Cosecant, permutations, binomial probability. All these math terms sounded like gibberish. To no one's surprise, I earned a C- in the class in my first semester. My academically rigorous and competitive Bay Area school instilled a desire to perform flawlessly in all of my classes, to the point where most of my self-worth was tied to my academic achievements. This was the ultimate formula for disaster. When I received that C, I felt like I was just watching my life slip through my fingers. That led to my struggles with anxiety and depression during my sophomore year of high school. In-person labs, fun conversations with seat partners, and small talk with the teachers were all gone at this point. I often tell my mom that without the in-person interactions in school, I go crazy because the workload is just too suffocating. Many of my classmates went through a similar experience, like my friend and former schoolmate, Ava Richards. Her entire senior year took place online. Like me, studying via Zoom proved just as disengaging for her.
I would kind of go to class and kind of pay attention, but I would procrastinate all my homework. I'd do it, you know, an hour before it was due. I didn't care about learning at all.
Ava was frustrated. She felt that the school district had overlooked mental health consequences when deciding a course of action for the school year.
I just felt they didn't care about what we wanted, and they just cared about what would make them look good in the eyes of the parents and all this other stuff. And it's just like, it just showed me that no one cared about how the students felt at all. They just cared about appearances.
For Ava, the lack of control over her school year defined her attitude during the pandemic.
I think the pandemic just made it really hard for me to, like, I guess, care about anything, because it just kind of felt like there was nothing I could do to change anything in my life. And I think that just made it really hard for me to even, like, appreciate the good moments in life.
Her brother, who is 2 years younger, also struggled during his online year.
My brother is one of the smartest people I know, but just having school online for him just made him so unmotivated, like it did for me. He had to take summer classes to fix some of his grades, and I knew how disappointed he was in himself.
Ava and I both live in the Bay Area, home to Stanford University and University of California, Berkeley. It's known as a tech hub. So it comes to no surprise that there is a peer-induced expectation at our school to excel academically. During distance learning, I witnessed many of my classmates struggle to maintain the same grades they were used to. For a lot of us, this resulted in an identity crisis. Turns out, this is a national phenomenon.
What I heard from these students, and the one who really, you know, stuck out, who I quoted in the book, is another foster kid. He's living with his brother in Washington State. And he said, you know, I'm an A student. That's my, like, identity. I've overcome a lot, basically, to do really well in school. And, you know, it's about, you know, and I find that school's, like, all about getting that grade. It's all about getting that A. And when you take that away, you don't have anything.
That's NPR correspondent Anya Kamenetz. She recently wrote a book called The Stolen Year. It covers education in the pandemic by following individuals whose stories illustrate the influence of social economic class. She quotes an MIT professor, saying that students generally do worse with online learning and that it's a force multiplier for inequality.
We saw that there were parents that were able to provide private tutors. There were parents that were able to have a nanny or someone home all day to just completely help the kids do their learning. Anybody who says, like, oh, my kid is doing fine, congratulations, you benefited from the inequities of school closures, because your kid is doing fine because of resources that you had access to. But what about the kids that don't? Because we know that school is a major lever of social mobility in this country. And if we don't have it, that social mobility starts to go in reverse.
Kamenetz's point. Schools are major social hubs. They act as the glue that holds local communities and families together. Closing them down not only disrupted parents' lives, but also shattered ours. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention reports that more than a third of high school students said that they experienced poor mental health during the pandemic. The CDC published this study in April. Two-thirds of students told the surveyors that they found it more difficult to complete their schoolwork during the lockdown. The Stolen Year documents the stories behind these numbers and how it will take years for us to recover. It mentions that many global health organizations warn that the negative impacts of studying in an isolated environment would outweigh the risks of attending school during the pandemic. But Kamenetz still sees a silver lining.
We just saw so much more coverage of and talk about mental health, and it became, quote unquote, okay to say you're not okay. Because rather than mental health issues being seen as the weakness of an individual, you can really easily point to what's happening in the outside and say, well, but what's happening in the world is getting to me, and therefore I need help.
When I was struggling with my own mental health journey, I dedicated time to articles, books, podcasts, and videos relating to the subject on how to take care of yourself. It became normal to talk about mental health, and I wanted to join the conversation. Halfway through my sophomore year, I started producing several podcasts on mental illness for my school's journalism program. I made an entire podcast series about different ways to take care of yourself mentally.
This is Carolina Quadras, and for the next few weeks, we're going to be covering the top 5 steps to a healthy mind.
After I finished the series, I quickly realized that normalizing mental health conversations through my podcast brought me a greater satisfaction than any A+ ever had. This marked a turning point for me as a student. I found an activity genuinely interesting and worth exploring instead of treating school as purely transactional. Creating this podcast gave me a sense of agency over my own life. I spent so much of the pandemic keeping my mouth shut because, like my friend Ava, I felt like no adults would listen to students. But then I realized my classmates would listen. Clinical psychologist Dr. Susan Wilkins noticed a similar outcome of students' health struggles during the pandemic.
You know, one of the benefits of this is that we're now in conversations about mental health in a way that we weren't prior to the pandemic. We've seen celebrities and influencers talk about their own mental health in a way that really was unprecedented before, and that's a good thing.
These past couple of years reminded us that adults mess up, and they mess up big time. Maybe when the next crisis comes along, they should check in with us kids. It's been a year since I've been back at school in person. I've never felt more excited, and I'm optimistic about the future. This March, President Biden signed a budget that allots $1 billion over the next 5 years to boost mental health and trauma counseling for students. These are the first steps. I look forward to seeing a new generation that is born into a society where it's okay to say they're not okay. In San Francisco, I'm Carolina Quadras.
Thanks, Carolina. Carolina Quadras is a high school senior at Carlmont High School. We're going to close the season with a conversation from the TBH teens. We talked about how the pandemic and academic pressure impacted our mental health.
Doing school online was really hard for me because, you know, it was hard to be like engaged in classes or like be motivated to do work or, you know, retain information. It was just really like unmotivating and it like made you feel stupid.
The pandemic coupled with academics, that was already stressful enough for me, especially when we had to come back to in-person classes in the fall of 2021. That was really difficult for me because I had to readjust, relearn how to time manage, how to interact with people. And my mental health deteriorated really quickly because I also had to deal with college applications, which made me stay up late at night, and not being able to sleep did not go well with going to school.
Yeah, so I think similar to what Aria was saying, I mean, I was in high school, but it really just like sucked all the motivation out of me. Like I kept my grades up, like my grades were fine, but I felt horrible. It took so much effort to get anything done. Like it would take me hours to do anything that like I should have been able to do in like half an hour. I just remember like I kind of had like a weekly crying session every Sunday night because I would just get so stressed about like turning everything in because a lot of stuff was due.
A lot of us were suffering mentally. A lot of us, you know, were just like really, you know, either enjoying the online schooling, which I know I have friends who were, or just not ready to be back in a school environment whatsoever. You know, like there's a lot of expectations placed on us that, you know, we couldn't really like uphold.
From straight-A students to those who are already struggling with school, the pandemic took a huge toll on teens' mental health. Many of us felt a sense of powerlessness and emotional turmoil. Being able to reflect on what we went through in the past couple years has become a way to reclaim agency. We took deep dives into mental health, gender and sexuality, and a love for the Minions. What matters is that we've been able to share this with you in our own voices. This has been TBH. TBH is a podcast from KALW Public Radio. Holly J. McDeed edited and taught along with Sarah Lai Sterland. Zara Ahmed is our production assistant. Our engineers are James Rowland and Gabe Graben. Music was composed by Daoud Anthony. We used additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Our artwork was created by Awan Mance. Shia Levitt is the supervising editor. Ben Trefney is the executive director. This project was made possible with support from the Association for Continuing Education and California Humanities, a nonprofit partner of the National Endowment for the Humanities. I'm your host, Cassidy Canner-Gomes.